And take your Bibles, if you will, and open to Psalm 100. So we are in Psalm 100 this morning. We'll get to that here in just a moment. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned this book to you. We've ordered it, and we'll be placing it in the church library. It's called One Race, One Blood, The Biblical Answer to Racism. Not a new book. It's been out for several years. And I would commend this book to you. I would encourage you, if you are wondering what to do, what kind of an answer to give, wanting to deepen your understanding of the creation of the human race from God's perspective, I would encourage you to use this book skillfully along with the Word of God, and this will help you a great deal. So we'll put this in the library. You can check that out as you desire. So again, we're in Psalm 100 this morning. We are looking at a series on worship. This morning, God's faithfulness in showing mercy and teaching the truth. Another way of maybe stating that title is this, with a question: what or who do you know? What or who do you know? Many people are familiar with Psalm 100. It has been put to music with several variations that have been enjoyed by choirs and congregations. It is a song of praise. It looks actually ahead to the eternal reign of Jesus Christ as Lord and King. And so you'll notice in verses 4 and 5, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That will happen literally in the future when you and I enter into the gates of the Lord, whether at our Lord's return or when you are ushered into the gates of heaven through death. But God is faithful and God is there. And this song of praise looks ahead to that wonderful time when we will be praising him forever. But this eternal praise, this praise that will be ours for all of eternity, is based off of something. It's rooted in something that has been seen, that has been experienced, and will continue to be. It's something that if you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, if we will grab hold of this thing and let it be a part of our regular song, again, we've seen it over and over again in these Psalms, that we are to be a singing people. We are to sing with our voices. We are to sing with our hearts. Our testimonies are to sing. Our lives are to sing for the Lord. But if we will let this thing be a regular part of our song, it will sustain us and it will carry us through the difficulties that we face in this life. No one denies that we have difficulties. No one denies that we have struggles. What we'll look at today, God has given to us as a wonderful mercy and a tremendous grace. So if I could give you something that would make those low feelings not be so oppressive, if I were to give you something today that would lift you out of the drudgery of life, if I could introduce you to something that would conquer worry and fear and that ever-present what-if syndrome, would you want it? Of course you would. So let's read Psalm 100 again. I'm going to add two words that I think are helpful, not adding to Scripture, but connecting portions of Scripture. They're in-between statements, a couple of words that will help us. Psalm 100, again, verse 1. Where the psalmist says, make a joyful shout, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands, all the earth. Come before his presence with singing. Okay, my word to add now is how. Look what the psalmist does. He gives us a command, make, serve, come. How? Verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Word number two. So, make, serve, come, how? No. Now, because of what we know, so, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now, what I'd like you to do is notice the verbs that we find in this passage of Scripture, and I have them here, if you can see through that lime green on the screen. Make, serve, and come. Make this joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence. Make, serve, and come. For you and for me, most of us, when we think of living the Christian life, it falls somewhere within those three words. Whether it is giving testimony for the Lord and what he has done, serving him in some capacity, or coming before his presence in time of devotion and worship. As you and I think about the Christian life, very, very often, how we think of living the Christian life falls within the realm of that action of making, serving, and coming. But those three verbs in verses 1 and 2 are made possible by the verb in verse 3, and that is no. Caitlin, I'm going to have you advance for me because mine is not advancing. No. Make, serve, and come are made possible by knowing. We'll get into this here in just a minute. Know that the Lord, he is God. How difficult is it to make a joyful noise when you question God as God? How difficult is it for you to maintain regular, joy-filled service when the truth of verse 3 is not there? That we don't view him as the one who has made us. We look at, hey, we are a product of anatomy and biology. Can you really serve the Lord with gladness when you don't recognize the fact that he actually knows you personally and knew you before that biological process took place? So the three verbs in 1 and 2 are made possible by the verb in verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. Know him. And then obviously those lead us to action. The verbs of verse 4, which is the expectation of the future. Enter, give thanks, and bless. Enter, give thanks, and bless. It is what we have been called to do from this day forward, and something that we will be doing for all of eternity. But the entering, the giving thanks, and the blessing is predicated on knowing and responding to the knowledge of God through making the joyful noise and serving and coming into his presence. Now, notice this in the passage. What gives meaning to the stuff of the daily Christian life, what gives purpose, is knowing the Lord. To the degree in which we have submitted ourselves to the Word of God in growing to know the Lord, to that degree, we will find joy and we will find purpose And we will find satisfaction and usefulness in the making, serving, and coming. In other words, meaning isn't primarily found in the doing. Meaning in life is not primarily found in the feeling that comes from the doing. Here's what I mean by that, just very simply. You know, I can sing a song in a service and still feel completely disconnected from God. I can be the leader of a Sunday school class and wrestle all week long with feeling saved. Meaning doesn't come through making, serving, coming. Because I can do those motions, but if I do not know the God who has commanded those actions, then I will feel completely disconnected. Those things were not meant to fulfill my search for meaning. God was. So how important is it for us to find our meaning in life through the knowing of God? Knowing of God. Now, notice the trend in Scripture. And Caitlin, you're going to have to just keep up with me here, one verse after another. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The command is to grow, and I am to grow in knowledge. And what that implies is that God has revealed himself to us to such a degree that we can know him and know him well. So grow in that knowledge. John 17, verse 3. You want to know what eternal life is? This is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus is summarizing what eternal life is. Eternal life is knowing God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. What was Paul's heart cry? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Knowledge of God, knowing him. Knowing him would lead to an understanding of the power of his resurrection and a fellowship with his sufferings and a conformity to his death. 1 John chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are of God. Psalm 46, verse 10. It's hanging in many of your homes. Be still and know that I am God. The psalmist does not say, be still. The psalmist, in communicating God's message to us, is to be still and know God. I think so often that when we are worked up in the circumstances of life, we look at a verse, we look at a verse like that, and we say, okay, the Bible says I just need to calm down. I just need to be still and not worry. That's not what the psalmist says. Be still and know that I am God. So what is it actually that causes me to calm down? The rest of the verse. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Our Lord reigns. That's what ought to cause us to be still. That he is in control. That he has power. That he loves us and cares for us and has all the might to do whatever he chooses and pleases while here on earth. Be still and know him. We're familiar with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Notice verse 6 again. in all your ways, acknowledge him. You know what the wisdom writer is saying there? In all your ways, know him. Know him and how he relates to all of your ways and how he has spoken into all of your ways, and he shall direct your paths. You know why? Because he already has. He says, this is the way. Walk in it. I will tell you what to do. And he already has. He has shown us how to live a godly life. 2 Peter 1:3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is why we're here. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know, we rest in this. We find our confidence in this. We find our meaning and purpose in this. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, this, as Paul Tripp calls it, this earth suit that we are in, this body, it wants to control us, doesn't it? I feel and do and feel and do and feel and make a decision and feel. I feel, he feels, she feels. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The worshipers who would sing Psalm 100, they would certainly feel the varying emotions that come with life on this earth. The ones that you and I are so familiar with, they were very much like us. They knew discouragement. They knew defeat. They knew pain. They knew frustration. They even knew the dullness that comes over even living for the Lord. But they were instructed to root themselves in what they knew. And who they knew would infuse life into them. Believer, is what you know about your God that which anchors your soul? Is what you know about God that which provides that guiding rudder for your life? What you know, not what you feel. Ask the follower of Jesus what he knows. And what he or she knows about God and his faithfulness, and that knowledge of God ought to come to rescue and help us triumph over what we so often feel. Verse 3 again, know that the Lord, he is God. And everything that comes with that, we are to know. We are to know that he is God. We are to know the meaning and the power of his name. We are to know the verity of his character, the testimony of his faithfulness, the revelation of his truth. You think that'll take you a little while, believer? To know all of that, it will take the rest of the days of your life here on earth, believer. This will take you a lifetime to mine out. But this is what will anchor our souls. Know God. And specifically, know that he is God and he made us. Not to wind up and let us go and, hey, whatever happens, happens. But we know from the truth of Scripture, from what he has revealed to us, from what he has revealed to us about who he is, that he directs and he provides and he cares, and he hears, and he teaches, and he shows, and he saves, and he rescues, and redeems, and we have fellowship. He fellowships with us, and he preserves us, and on the list goes. God has not created us to wind us up and let us go. God is intimately connected with us and our lives, and we are to know him as God who is faithful in all these things. The very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 says, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him..." Do you remember the names? "He who sat on him was called Faithful and True." Those are two of the names of our Savior Jesus Christ. And throughout Scripture, we see the faithfulness of God. We see the faithfulness of our Savior Jesus. We certainly see the faithfulness of God in forgiving. Forgiveness is a major theme in Scripture, right? Even just think about the life of Jesus. Jesus taught on forgiveness when he was teaching his disciples to pray. He said, "When you pray, pray like this." And part of that teaching includes, "And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Jesus taught on forgiveness, and he was faithful to forgive. Jesus demonstrated forgiveness when he died and provided that ultimate avenue for the forgiveness of the sins, of our sins. Here's something we don't often think about. Jesus counted on God's faithful forgiveness. You say, "Wait a minute, Jesus was without sin." Yes, I know. But do you remember when Jesus was on the cross? When he prayed for the criminal, when he prayed for those who crucified him, do you remember his words to the Father? "Father, forgive them." Jesus counted on the faithful forgiveness of the Father. So we're familiar with God's faithful forgiving. You think about Scripture in your own minds. Think about this. What other scriptural examples teach us of God's faithfulness? We're not going to take the time to do this right now, but this would be a wonderful exercise for you as either a group of Christians getting together or a family discussing this, even a couple just sitting down and thinking this through. Hey, what examples are there in the Bible of God's faithfulness to us? We are to know his faithfulness. And so as we grow in our knowledge of God, what scripture passages, what examples in the Bible show us God's faithfulness? I'd encourage you to do that as a family. As we bring our time to a close this morning, here's what I'd like for us to do. I would like for us to actually spend a little bit of time involved in a concert of praise. Now, we've been told over and over again to sing. And the psalmist has made it very, very clear that one of the ways that we worship God, both as an action that is pleasing to him and a testimony that is encouraging and edifying to those around us, is to sing. Now, those of you who have the verses that I handed out, don't worry, I'm not going to have you come up and sing them, okay? However, we know that both verbally we can sing and by way of testimony we can sing. Our lives sing. And so I gave out several passages of Scripture, and I'm going to have us read them one after the other as an encouragement to remember that the circumstances of life never change the character of our faithful God. As we get to know him, we believe that more and more. Because this is who he has revealed himself to be. Faithful God. So I'll read the passage, and then one of our men will stand up and read that. And then I'll read the next passage. You might just what I would encourage you to do is not try to find all of these in your Bible, because we're going to go from one to the next. But if you'd like to, write them all down and know God through his revelation of himself in his word. Okay, we are going to begin with Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. So whoever has that, would you start us off? That's something. In that verse, we have both know the Lord and he is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. What an encouragement, believer. You don't stand alone against the wicked one. Our God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Powerful verse. Psalm 33:4. Amen. Psalm 86:15. Amen. God is faithful. Psalm 111, verses 7 through 9. Holy and awesome is his name. He is faithful. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. So Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5 again. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. For what? Because our God is faithful. And when you know him, you can be thankful for who he is. And you can be thankful for what he has done and continues to do. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That takes the focus off of ourselves, off of our present circumstances. Not that they're not weighty. Not that they're not potentially hurtful or even harmful. But our God knows and our God cares. This is what we learn when we know him. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. How many times do we have to remind ourselves of that? When we question his goodness. God, why? God, how come it, No, he is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth, what we learn about him, endures to all generations. J.I. Packer, in Knowing God, said this: once you become aware that the main business that you are here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place of their own accord. It doesn't mean they go away. It doesn't mean that they don't affect us. But the main business of my life is not a free and easy life situation. The main business of my life is not even life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The main business of my life is to know Him. To know Him. Believer, how goes your quest to know God? It's not a scavenger hunt. He hasn't hidden Himself all around. He has revealed Himself to us. He wants us to know Him. It's not something for us to take lightly. Could it be? Could it be that the reason life seems so overwhelming or so out of control at times is because you do not know Him as you ought? Now, if you're here today and you do not know Him, I have great news for you. You can. One last passage of Scripture before we go to prayer. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 11. Listen carefully. And this is the testimony. Remember, our testimony is to sing, right? Well, here is a song. This is the testimony. That God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It doesn't say feel. There are some mornings that I may wake up and not feel saved. Does that change the work that God has done on my behalf? Will I enter into the gates of heaven because I feel something? These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Know Him. You can know Him today. The Bible says that if we will acknowledge the fact that we're sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all is all inclusive. But the Bible also says that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. What a tremendous blessing. It comes to the one who believes in the name of the Son of God, the power of the blood of Jesus. Would you call upon Him today if you have not already? And believer, would you grow in your knowledge of Him? Our Father, we thank You and praise You that in Your goodness and in Your grace, You have revealed Yourself to us. God, we want to make a joyful noise. We want to serve You. We want to come into Your presence with singing. The avenue to do that well is the road that leads to wisdom and knowledge of You. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Instruction, wisdom, discretion, all bound up in a knowledge of You. God, obviously that knowledge is not to remain in our minds, it is to affect our hearts so that we actually can make a joyful shout to the Lord, so that we can serve with gladness and come into your presence with a devotional heart of singing. So God, I pray that we would grow in our understanding that you are God and you made us and you care for us as the sheep of your pasture. So that in that glorious day we may be able to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and courts with praise. We exalt you for your goodness, for your mercy, which is everlasting, and are thankful for the truth, your truth, that endures forever. I pray that we would be a people who are disciplined, evidenced by our submission. Yielding to you, I pray that you would teach us and grow us. God, I pray that we would, if we're not taking time in the Bible, that we would start even with baby steps of just of reading these Psalms that we have studied and pulling out characteristics of who you are. We may see your faithfulness and your goodness and your love and your mercy and your justice. Thank you for being our God. And I pray that that we would acknowledge you as our rock and our fortress every single day. That we would walk on sure ground, not because of our confidence in ourselves, not because we feel great on a certain day, but because we trust you. You are faithful. Pray that we would know you well. It is good to be with your people today, and I pray that these truths would continue to impact our lives for the days ahead, and that we would be used by you this coming week. We don't know what this week holds. We don't know what hospital visits lie in the week ahead. We don't know about what will happen in our job situations, in our families, in our relationships, in our finances. We don't know. But you do, and we can know you. So, God, I do pray that you would grow our trust, grow our faith, as you reveal yourself to us in the precious word. We thank you for these things. I pray your blessing on this group of people. Use us for your glory this week. It is in Jesus' name that we can pray these things because of that precious blood that was spilt on our behalf. The sacrifice that was the payment for our sin for all of eternity. All because of your love and the sacrifice you gave. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And thank you, Spirit, for your indwelling presence. All God's people said, Amen.